Well, good morning. How is everyone this morning?
Rob, everybody's doing well. Kristen's back.
Oh, great. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Ginger's off now.
Can't be here at all the same time.
Yeah.
All right. So, before we get started, what's on your mind?
I was just going to give you a couple of updates since our last call. All of our Center of Influence meetings start this week and next week. So, majority of those are on the calendar now.
Great.
And then the 24-month calendar, we've made some tweaks to that, and we're probably ready to finalize that next, you know, within the next week or so. And I think those are the two updates from the week before. We did our, you know, listened to the video and did our reading. We did have a couple of questions for you. I don't know if that's where we should start or if you just wanted to review it with us.
No, that's great. Let's just go right with the questions. That's the idea.
Okay. So in regards to confirming with a client, we're looking for some clarification. So a week ahead of time, is that for all appointments, whether it's the call, review, or the in-person?
Yes.
A week ahead of time? Okay. And can any of these be done by email, or do you recommend all of them being phone calls?
Oh, no, they can be done with email. That's fine.
Okay.
And you can also use Outlook, you know, where they click on it and it goes right to their calendar.
Right. I think Kristen does that.
That's what I do.
Yeah. So in there, in the email, if that's presuming the way we want to go, do you have people who tailor it, like maybe do emails for all the follow-up month, for all the monthly calls, but then do phone calls for the in-person meetings? Have you heard any of that?
No, you don't need to. You can just do it all by email.
All by email. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's where
unless
you can ask.
Yeah, unless you don't hear from them, and then you know the ones you're going to need to follow up on.
Okay.
You'll see a pattern. The people that are very computer literate will be, you know, they'll be quick to come back to you, confirm. You'll see it on their Outlook, you know, they'll confirm the Outlook. And just make it clear that it's quarterly. If it's in person, then you're going to have to make sure that that's clear. You might have to call, but if you don't have to call, remember, this is a productivity enhancer, not a time drainer. So
right.
we want, you know, the least amount of phone tag we can have. Just efficient. Today's modern world, you know, very few phone calls.
Okay. And is that, I guess, in the email is where you can tailor it if you wanted to ask them about any client service issues or anything like that, right?
Absolutely, and I would ask them to do that. And here's the agenda. Close is the agenda. If you'd like to add something to the agenda or you have any other issues, please email them back and we'll put them on the agenda or deal with any of the issues.
Okay. So your agenda goes out in the confirmation email the week before. Okay.
That's right.
Okay. All right. And then, Kristen, do you have any other clarifications since that's going to fall on you?
No, we may have to tweak that a little bit just because of some of the stuff that Ginger needs to do this year and on the operational side.
Meaning the phone calls will be better?
I think the phone calls are going to be better for the at least the two meetings.
Mm-hmm.
The in-person meetings, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. It may be something that you can wean them off of. But in the beginning, you may need more personal attention. It's a training issue. So, you know, you can call and tell them what's going to happen and how it's going to happen and this is what's going to happen. And remember my five-time rule. It's not their obligation to understand what's going on until we've told them five different ways.
One of the issues that I see, and why I was mentioned that Ginger may need to call, is part of our objectives CSAs had to put for the year, she has to step up on the service side with UBS, and they want assistance to have a service meeting or a service phone call with clients. And our manager kind of asked me, well, could you all have 15 minutes before the meeting? I'm like, no, our meetings are going to be an hour meeting. We can't take 15 minutes of that hour meeting, but we kind of compromise that, okay, when she calls and confirms, we can kind of go over things like online services and my total picture, other items that are offered at UBS. So it's not really
now,
it's more UBS that we're trying to.
I think UBS may have gotten this from Supernova, because one of the things that we recommend is to have one of the calls be an administrative call. So that's okay. It can be an administrative call because, you know, you have 12 contacts, four reviews, two of them in person. The other eight are on the agenda, but you can make one of them an administrative call. This can be particularly helpful when John or Tracy are out at a meeting for the month, you know, or there's certain times when they're gone on vacation. Those can be, instead of not doing them, you can make those administrative calls. So
okay.
keeping the regular calendar, but making those administrative calls. And, you know, that's wonderful for the client. They like that.
Okay.
And calls don't need to be an hour, by the way. They can be, but that's how much time you give. We like to take them as 50 minutes max. But they can be 10 minutes. They can be 20 minutes. They can be 40 minutes. You know, the client may be rushing out, wants to do the call, but only can do it quickly. And you just cover the items, boom, 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 and you're done. Other times they want to tell you about the new grandbaby, you know, and that you need to take the time for. But, you know, so you sort of, and you know your different clients. Some clients are going to get on and get off. They're busy. Others are retired and they want to chat. But you can't give them an hour because you're going to be back to back to back to back, which makes you crazy. So you want to max them out at 50 minutes, even the in-person. And it's, the idea is that, look, we're going to be talking every month. So this implementation of this and this and this we can do, or we can have a separate call. So if you can't get things done in your in-person meeting in an hour, in 50 minutes, then set another appointment or do it by phone. But don't have three-hour meetings. That's crazy. Nobody wants them. Yeah, other questions?
That kind of leads into a question. So the 24-month agenda.
Yep.
I think I read in that, you know, when you have your monthly calls, either maybe the monthly agenda item for that month doesn't apply to that client, or maybe there's something else that you had on the agenda for them. That 24-month calendar is more, is supposed to be kind of like a guide to give you a topic each month. Is that correct? Or
that's the way I see it. Some people are very rigid about it, and they send it out to the client, and they do every single thing on there. I personally love structure, but I don't want to be too rigid. So I want to always be sensitive to the client. And the client is, you know, you remember, first thing we do before we get into the agenda is there something that is on your agenda or on your mind before we get started? And they say, yeah, I'm getting a divorce. You know, well, that long-term care is not something we're going to talk about now. We're going to talk about the divorce. So I think it's very important that you be sensitive to whatever is actually happening in their life.
Okay. Okay. All right. I had another question that when you were talking and I lost it. I'll maybe remember it. I would think, you know, I have concerns, like you say, of being too rigid because I don't want the clients to feel like this is all robot. I mean, I don't want them to feel like everybody's getting the same treatment or this, you know, same conversation or investments. And that's why I was thinking maybe if we tailored it a little bit, that might help, but I mean, do you have anybody who's too rigid?
Yeah, tailoring the agenda is really important because everybody does have a separate life and agenda.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the part which is customized. The 24-month calendar is a way for you to not have to, you know, go back and forth between products and be discussing things that you're really not prepared to talk about.
Okay.
So that's the idea, is we batch process all, you know, risk management in one, you know, insurance in one or two or three calls. And then we handle liability management, you know, everything from margin to mortgages in a separate call. So we're ready for that. And that's the idea. The director of implementation is the person that gets people ready for the monthly call and does the training session and puts together the enclosure for that item for the calendar, for the agenda. So that's an important part of that job, the 24-month calendar. And that's why the five-star model works, because different people have different jobs. They take them seriously and they do them.
All right. So I'm the VP of implementation. So one of my jobs, that monthly calendar, is cash management. It's to make sure everybody's aware of that, and these are the things that we're going to be discussing in regards to cash management with our clients. And make sure
everybody's
on the same. Okay. Okay.
Right. And these would be the five options we use for cash management or whatever. These are the interest rates that they're paying today. And, you know, here's the most interesting idea in that area.
Okay. Interestingly enough, the month of April is cash
management.
Good timing.
Okay.
All right. I would think that would somewhat help having with, you know, Stephen Covey was the other part that we discussed.
Right.
Would that not, I mean, I would think this process, the benefit for us would be that we may not be having to be reactive as much.
Well, that's right. When people see that you're going to be covering the spectrum of ideas, and especially if you mail it to them ahead of time, they will hold their questions. Oh, we're going to be discussing, great, we're going to be discussing mortgages in August, you know. I don't have anything urgent, but I'd be very interested in that topic, you know, or whatever, long-term care. I think it helps. It cuts down on phone calls and makes people aware of the fact that you do that, that you're in that business. So it's a marketing tool as well as an advertising tool.
Okay. So,
I'd love to see you use that and try it, you know, send it out. And, you know, as I said, just because we don't do you notice how we don't always cover everything in the month, in the week that we're doing it, right? If you get it, or you don't have an interest in it, or whatever, we're too busy talking about something important, we will skip something. And sometimes we go back to it, and sometimes we don't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. That's okay, because what we're doing is more important, and we only have a limited amount of time. Okay. I'll try not to have you miss anything critical. But, you know, we can spend more or less time on Jim Lehrer's book, The Power of Full Engagement, depending on, you know, if you've read it, you're excited about it, you want to talk about it, great. If not, you're still hung up on segmentation. At that point, we'll spend the time on segmentation. So you may have, you know, a topic of insurance and risk management, and you're going to cover the spectrum, and they're all set. You know, they're good. They don't really want to spend any time on it. You're going to spend time on whatever it is that they consider the most important thing at that point. Doesn't
okay.
mean that you don't go back to insurance. You know, as part of their financial plan, you've got some issues that you need to be clarified. Do they really have a good umbrella policy? And what is it? We don't have that answer on our sheet. We got to get that eventually.
Okay.
Okay. So what else are you hung up on anything, or is it moving pretty smoothly? What's going on?
Well, it was an interesting couple of weeks just because we, as you have noted, we've rotated people being out of the office. So I think it did help that process by having some of these supernova items in place, but it also gave us a way to kind of tweak some of the processes that we're, you know, trying to put into place.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think this next month will be a real, kind of a realized, you know, more of how it will work. Because now it's April, so some of our monthly call, we're going to try to have our first, you know, agenda item for monthly calls starting this month. So
I think we've come a long way, Rob.
I'm impressed. Yeah.
Everybody's in. We've had meetings with clients. I think they've all gone well. Tracy, don't you have your first monthly call this week?
And I have mine tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
You know, the mini me folders have been well received.
You know, that's Rob, that was one of the kind of things that we chose to tweak a little bit rather than just make all the phone calls. calls from the MAMIE folders and send them out. We're presenting them as we're meeting or calling with the client.
Yeah, that's fine.
So not,
that's good.
That's not like the mass, you know.
Right.
And we feel, we also felt like for the pipeline or for the workload that that was going to be much more doable because we have an intern coming soon that's really going to help us make sure that all of those are prepared to take some of the workload off of Ginger and Kristen.
Good.
This summer. Our goal is to have all of them completed and ready to go, you know, early summer.
Doesn't sound like you're getting any pushback on any of this from the clients. Do you think that's because you're more into it in the sense of you understand it better, you're more committed to it? Is it you or is it them or what do you think it is?
To Tracy's earlier point, a lot of this stuff we're making it part of the normal meeting which we've had with the clients anyway. So it's just a kind of a seamless thing to go through this. A few little quips, but nothing, no pushback from the clients, at least so far. And if there is, I guess we can do another segmentation.
That's funny. It's good.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, it's been a good market, which helps too. And
yeah.
That makes us, you know, the conversation a little easier. But you know, we've been doing meetings all along. And to Tracy's point, there's sort of been a rotation of spring break and other things going on where we haven't been fully staffed. So you know, we've still been doing it. This week is the first part of the. We've got the Centers of Influence scheduled this week. So that'll be an interesting conversation next Monday to see how that went. But I suspect it'll go well.
We'll spend a few minutes on that before I leave this topic. The interesting thing is spring break and chaos and people being out and all that would normally mean that you are either postponing or not doing calls, et cetera, but because I think you're kind of veterans of this, you are organized, committed, and adapt to changing environments. That's very unusual. Most of the time, something gets postponed because of chaos. So, you know, granted, we have good markets, and that keeps one chaotic item off the agenda. But typically, I get some apologies for not doing certain things because of spring break or this or that or this or that or this or that. I don't hear that with this group, which is wonderful. Congratulations, because it's
we just kept on going. April gets a little busier, but we had a nice week of new money coming in last week, and so we focused on some different things. There were some adjustments with Kristen not being here. We sort of delegated some different things, and maybe some things got, pushed back a little bit. But, Kristen, the last thing I want is for you to come in and have a bunch of stuff here. Was that the case?
I mean, no.
Yeah.
I mean.
So we kind of just keep moving on.
It's great. Okay. You want to talk about the Center of Influence meeting since you have four of them coming up? You want to kind of talk about what you're going to be doing and how you're going to handle those?
Sure.
John has the first one, which is a lunch with a CPA and a state planner.
It just so happened I had one with the attorney and worked out, we've got a topic that needs to be discussed with the attorney and the CPA. Actually, they're both attorneys and CPAs. But so anyway, I put them together.
Interesting.
So We've got good relationships with them. We have sent them clients, and I think they're familiar with how we operate, but it's probably been 20 years since I've seen spreads off, since I've seen a referral come in from the CPA, and I can't remember one coming from the attorney. And we have helped their billable hours quite a bit. So I was going to talk about Supernova, how we work with our clients, see if they have any questions about that. And then I think I know them both well enough. I'm just going to ask them, you know, do they think of us when they have a client that needs an advisor?
Good. Are you planning on introducing the enthusiastically endorsed model?
I can. I hadn't thought that far ahead.
I just kind of wondered how far down the road you are. If they've been centers of influence for you, or at least you are for them, or they are for you, I guess. If it's been 20 years, then you have relationships where you can be pretty frank with them and talk about how you get introductions and teach them, you know, even at that meeting. Say, hey, you know, because that could make a lot of excuses as to why they're, you know, why they're not able to get you introductions. And so by turning it into a little bit more of an educational experience for them, I think you might get them off of the dime, you know, get them off of immovable position.
Yeah, okay. Well,
so you kind of give them an out.
I think them both quite a bit of business.
Yeah. And I mean, it's been a pretty one-way street, right?
It has been a one-way street.
Yeah. So I think, you know, this is the time where it's going to be interesting. You're biting off quite a bit there by having both of them at the same time. they theoretically could get.
There's a lot of relationships there that's a joint. And, you know, in one instance, they send their bills to Kristen. She gets them approved, and and they pay them, so yeah, we do a lot for them. So, but I think it's time to find out what's going on. How come there's nothing new happening in our direction?
Yeah, just talk about how good things have been and how, you know, successful you've been and how other people are sending you lots of introductions and on a regular basis and trusting you. I'm just curious as to, you know, is there an issue here, or do you not understand what we do, or, you know, how can we, and maybe you invite them to do a 5-star model presentation, just so you can understand better what we do and how we do it. Come over to the office and let us see, you know, let us show you what we do in some detail.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah, that will. I'm really curious. It's the first time I've ever heard of that. So let me know. That's a very courageous move. They can gang up, you know. Anyway.
Well, and then I have one Friday morning with an estate planner. He's one that we've worked closely with the last year on one one relationship,
mm-hmm.
where I think we mentioned to you earlier, it was one relationship that ended up turning into five relationships with all the children. So I was going to do a follow-up there because it's almost finished. They're signing all of the estate paperwork, so we should be able to finalize that through the month of April. Just going to make sure that's moving along. But then I was also going to, you know, introduce the supernova and discuss whether or not he felt like we could partner together for introductions. And I was going to use the EE model, you know, with them.
Yeah, and remember, there's a bunch of different options here. You can have this meeting and decide, hey, the next step is to have a meeting at your office where our staff meets your staff and we all get to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then mm-hmm. you come to our office and meet our team and get to know us.
It's probably the step I'm going to use because he just got a new paralegal.
Yep.
Robin's no longer with him, and that just happened, I think, last month. So that might be the best step is to see about going and meeting his team.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is, you know, kick the tires and see if, you know, what it is that they do, what they specialize in, why, you know, they're the right team for you guys. So they're
mm-hmm.
selling you on that they're, you know, they're going to be able to handle more work from you. And then they come and kick your tires and see what you do and why you're unique in the market, which you are. And many times they don't really know that or why. And then the third meeting is teaching them the enthusiastically endorsed model because they've committed. I wouldn't teach them the enthusiastically endorsed model until they commit to wanting to build a relationship with you.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
And at some point have the folder ready to give to them when they say, yes, I want to build the relationship. You hand them the folder, the mini-me folder, and you show them, and that's got information about you, your team, everything, just like they were a client. And then, of course, you have a folder on them, on everything about their team, which you're constantly updating and building. And those are the folders you bring every month when you meet together. And they'll say, well, what do we discuss? We'll discuss the same things we would as if you were a client, but in this case, it's discussing our business relationship, our partnership. How is it going? Our goal at each meeting in the future will be to have brought or to bring an introduction. So we spend a month hunting for an introduction. And they say, how can we find them? And you say, ask the enthusiastically endorsed question. So you really have to, you have to go step by step. You can't just jump it all into one meeting. I think you need to have a couple of meetings. And that will tell you whether they're serious, and it'll also demonstrate that you're serious.
Okay.
All right, and that you're trustworthy and that you'll be there and that isn't just this is not just another financial advisor wanting business. This is a true partnership. And they're going to squawk if they don't see it as a benefit to them in the sense of, I'm just too busy, I can't do this. And so you say to yourself, I need to find someone that wants to grow and sees the value in what we're doing.
Okay.
Okay?
expected.
Yeah, it's easy to have a one-way street when nobody's looking you in the eye, you know, and they think, well, they're sending them because we're great, you know. Well, we're sending them to you because you're great, and we expect this to be a two-way street. Okay. The urgent, not urgent, the Steve Covey model. Did you talk about it?
Tracy and I are very familiar with it from, who was that? Steve Sines?
Mm-hmm.
From a course that we took 20 years ago.
Great. Well, when you're looking at your practice and you're trying to raise your productivity, it's a great little exercise to go through and put down in each category, you know, what am I doing today? All right, all my duties. Here's all the things I do. What in that list are urgent, important, urgent, not important, which is crazy, right? Not urgent, important, and not urgent, not important. Where am I truly wasting time? Now, I also recommend doing this with your life, okay? Not just your work life, but the rest of your life. So where are you? Now, if you're a working mom and it's like I used to, the athletes, you know, the swimmers that were swimming three times a day in college and going to class and doing this and doing that, they had no time for the not important, not urgent. But today, you see an awful lot of people wasting an awful lot of time on things that are not important and not urgent and aren't really doing much for their recovery. So, if it truly helps you recover, then it can be helpful. And it's important. Taking a nap is important, even though it's typically not urgent, it is important. So all the changes and all the things that we're doing with Supernova all fall into the not urgent, but very important. And that includes prospecting and all the other things that make a long-term difference to your practice. So it's a great way of thinking about our practice and periodically just kind of looking over it and saying, okay, what am I truly doing that is wasting time? And see if you can minimize it. You may not be able to eliminate it, but you can minimize it. It's like all our other good habits and bad habits, rituals. So we want to build rituals around. And that's why I love Supernova, because Supernova creates an environment where you really have no time to waste. I mean, it's great in that sense. There is no time for people to interrupt you because you're on the phone or you're meeting with a client. There is no, you know, wasted time because you're organized. So if you're either on the phone talking to a client, you're in person talking to a client, or you're preparing to talk to a client or a prospect. So there's no wasted time. And that, I think, is, you know, that's the key to our productivity increase. That's what we're looking for. So my guess is because you're talking to clients more consistently and more of them, you're gathering more assets than you would have otherwise. And that's typical of what happens initially anyway. So, and I think you've mentioned that in the past, that, you know, you are seeing a nice flow, you've got a good market and all that stuff, but
I think, you know, you guys are really organized now and looking good. So gathering more assets, feeling good about that. How's that, John? Is that, that's working?
That's working.
Excellent.
Been a focus for the last 2.5 years, and it's working.
Yeah. Last week we talked about the idea of time-saving ideas. Did that resonate? And it's part of the exercise for this week too. Does that resonate with you? Is that something that you want to include in your agenda, or is it just something that you want to be more aware of, or how do you want to work with that?
What are some examples?
What are some examples of?
I don't remember. I mean, what would be our, with our homework? What would be our homework or the exercise?
Well, yeah, for week 8, it was try this exercise. Write down 6 ways you can save your clients money to use during your monthly calls and or topics you can present during the calls. So I think I put it down somewhere. I just read it in my notes that we had talked about. 10 ways we save clients money. So how do we save clients money? We save clients money pretty much in all kinds of different ways, but we don't typically get credit for it because we don't remind them that this advice we're giving them on estate planning is going to save them money.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. I had a client that had a financial advisor that had a client who she met with, and the guy had typically given, like, I don't know, $50,000 away every year to his university, and no one had ever mentioned that it would make more sense to give appreciated stock than to give cash. So he moved a $5 million client to her because she told him that, unfortunately, this has always been available, and somebody should have told you about doing that. He was really mad and moved the client. You'd think that's impossible, that somebody wouldn't know that, right? But why would they know it unless somebody told them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's one example, right?
Okay.
So investing in tax-free bonds versus taxable. Using a tax-free money market fund instead of a taxable. Using a 529 instead of just a UGMA account. So you can see, you know, you can in 5 minutes come up, 10 minutes come up with 10 different ways you save clients money.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't talk about it and we don't give ourselves credit for it because I don't know why. We're their advocate. Anytime you can position yourself as their advocate rather than a cost center, it's a really good thing. Instead of them being the place that charges them $70,000 for managing their money, instead, you're their family office group that they only have to pay $70,000 for instead of $1 million. And you're doing all the things that a typical family office would do for them. You're thinking about them a lot and how they should best position themselves to maximize their returns, pass on their values to their children through their money, save tax dollars, etc. Well, I mean, one of the ways, right? Another way is to, instead of using mutual funds that kick off a big tax bill, regardless of whether the fund has appreciated, you've got them in individual stocks, which are more tax efficient.
We could come up with, I bet, more than 10.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Having AB trust.
Just lots and lots. So just go through each kind of
financial planning, and you'll come up with ideas in each of those areas that you can put on a master list. And then when you bring up that topic, you can also mention the tax savings.
So with my last group, we were talking about, we were talking here about administrative calls, making one of the calls an administrative call. That administrative call can include some of the tax the savings ideas that you all provide for your clients in terms of, covering ATM fees or more efficient use of borrowing, versus credit margin versus credit cards, lines of credit versus margin, mortgages versus lines of credit. Each one more efficient than the other, all available. We want to do the most efficient thing that saves you the most money. So in each of our presentations on our 24-month calendar, we can highlight a tax-saving benefit of doing that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a really good idea because, in this market, we've got good news to tell, right? Appreciated stocks. But we don't always have good markets. So giving them good news about how we're saving them money on a regular basis can offset some of the bad news.
Rob, can I pick your brain about a situation that came up last week?
Sure.
If husband, wife, the relationship came to me 14 years ago. They had a relationship with another advisor in town that is a high school friend of this one, client's. The client is 68, 69 years old. In a meeting about a year ago, the wife expressed some dissatisfaction with the son, who's a junior partner that's taken over for the dad. So we've been sort of picking away at that. Before they come in, we'll ask them to send us copies of their statements, so we'll analyze everything as one. In preparation for a meeting last week, I made a phone call to the firm, one of my friends at the firm, and he said, oh, the advisor passed away about 2 weeks ago. So we were ready for when it came up in the meeting. The wife said, did you know that, so-and-so passed away? And the response was, we just recently became aware of that. We're so sorry. Do you have any advice on how to, she had expressed dissatisfaction with the young advisor who's now the advisor on the account. I don't think out of respect to their long-term relationship with the deceased father that account's going to move anytime soon, but it's about a $10 million relationship.
Mm-hmm.
The advice you can give us on that?
So what's your relationship to the client?
As But he's a client. He's got about $7 million with us, and there's about ten over there. So we're looking to consolidate.
Yeah, I think this is bing opportunity. Yeah. I'd have a meeting.
Yeah.
You did. I would talk about risk management. You know, I think we've talked about it in the past. If we haven't, then I think it's something we can go over. But the idea is that one person should be the risk manager in every relationship. There's a difference between a performance manager and a risk manager. A performance manager just tries to maximize performance. A risk manager understands that there's risk associated with all portfolios, and unless you have a view of the entire portfolio, you really can't manage the risk. You can have way over and you've seen it in the past, where you have way over concentrated positions in stocks for the good and the bad. And what you're trying to avoid is the bad. It's great when it's all good, right? Everything's going up. But there are times when companies don't do well, i.e. GE. One of the great companies of all time, right? If you'd have kept all the generals, like they told us when I got started in the business, just own the generals, General Mills, General Electric, General Motors, General this, you know, that you got a great portfolio, blue chips, right? Well, that doesn't work, okay? So, you know, everybody has an over-concentrated position in Apple, and it's great as long as it's great. But there was a time when Apple didn't perform very well, and everybody owned it, and it was pretty bad. So that's one thing seriously that you need to do, whether you manage the money or you just are responsible for the money, you should see the whole portfolio. But I think you should have the whole portfolio so you can manage it. People say, I want to diversify my risk by having more than one financial advisor. And I say, what you're doing is scattering your investments around the street. So you see this scattering. You see that, you know, in Chicago, the wind is blowing and papers are flying. It's scattered, so it doesn't look organized. So scatter is a great word to use. You know, rather than having things scattered across the street, we recommend that you consolidate and focus and manage your risk by having one risk advisor who looks over everything, similar to a family office group. And I think that's pretty powerful. And if she's concerned, then this would be the time to do it. I wouldn't worry about, you know, being too sensitive to the FA that passed away. I mean, I think that's being a little too nice in the sense of, you know, hey, this is business. So I would go after it.
Okay, well, to be continued. I think just in some of the questions over the last year, I think it's on their mind.
Yeah, and I think Supernova gives you a fabulous opportunity to do that, right? I mean, you've got a great story to tell. We hired a consultant to just go through the whole thing, just as if you were introducing it for the very first time. And this is why we're doing it. And the good news is, you know, you're one of our clients that we're keeping. And the better news is you're going to get all these extra services at no incremental cost to you.
maybe the first month the call should be on risk management.
I think it should, yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you. I'll let you know how that goes. That's been the target for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good one. It's a good.
Any of those case study works, you know, ideas that you have, I'd love to hear about them.
I thought you'd been through a few of those.
Yeah, I've been through, you know, thousands. And it's fun. It's fun for me, and it makes it, hopefully I can get you. You know, the words are the key. Having the right words that make people go, wow, oh, I didn't think about that.
Do you remember Marty Cohen?
Marty Cohen, of course.
Okay. I mean, talk about doing grand rounds and case studies.
Right. Yeah.
My goodness. Yeah.
Two ways to increase your business, more business from existing accounts and more new accounts.
Yeah.
But we go more business from existing accounts and bigger accounts. Since we can't take on any more. So yeah, Marty made a big impression on me. I went out there all the time. Went out there. I probably went out 5 times to see him.
Yeah.
He was good. I used to teach there 1985. I was teaching Ron Rubenstein's cold calling clinic in Chicago for new FAs. We had our own training school. We had about 40 FAs. And I taught three days of their training. I taught Marty Cohen's, Ron Rubenstein's cold calling clinic. It was so much fun. I love that stuff.
Ron Rubenstein, there you go.
Right. Why do you think I do this? I'm a nut. I love this. I love training.
And you remember Joe Ross then, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Of course. Great. Great guy. Terrific.
Okay.
All right. I think we're out of time. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Next week will be interesting. We'll have a lot to report.
Yeah, that'll be really good. Look forward to it. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Talk soon. Bye.
I think you're right on the right track then with Scott Jones, since you said it was a total return stuff. And that's the, I don't know if you heard my comment, but I said, John's on the right track with the Jones by doing the total return and, you know, total picture stuff. Yeah, because basically risk management, you know.
From a year ago when he walked in and asked me when I was going to retire, to her commentary, it's interesting. She just brought it up when she walked in the room the other day. Do you know what we're talking about?
The
updates
I gave
you
this morning.
Yeah, so. Okay. Get a pass on me tonight.
So, is your any thoughts, any change with your approach for Thursday then?
Yeah.